Well, family, we are here today to remember and honor Eric Hardenbrook, to grieve over our loss, and to hear from God in his word as we make much of him and rejoice in Eric's homecoming. For Eric was and is a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
I'd like you to listen real quick. Listen to what the Lord says about the death of one of his children. In Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2, he says, "The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil." And Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints." Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for your steadfast love that endures forever. We thank you that despite not deserving it at all, you are so, so good to us. You promise to help us, to strengthen us, to be with us, and to uphold us to the end. Something that you did for Eric, and you promise to do for all who put their hope and their trust in you as well. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for your love that you tell us we can never be separated from, even now. Father, I thank you for this remarkable man, Eric, that we are here to remember and reflect on today. I thank you for the relationship that he had and still has with you. And I thank you for the example, what an example he was, that he modeled for each and every one of us. Because of you, Lord God, Eric was not a man unsure of where he was going when he died. He knew you, he walked with you, and he was assured of the work that you did on his behalf. We thank you and we praise you for this. And we thank you and praise you that Eric's hope and Eric's experience with you right now can be ours as well. So Lord Jesus, we desire that this time of honoring Eric and honoring you, this time of worshiping, grieving, remembering and celebrating would be pleasing to you and glorifying to your name. Lastly, I pray that you would enable each one of us to receive all that you have for us this morning through this special time. May we receive your personal and fatherly care, touch, and comfort. We love you so much, and it's in your most precious name that we pray. Amen. Well, our brother Eric passed away at 68 years young. And I say 68 years young because while he may have been an older man with some health issues, he was as vibrant as they come.
Right.
I'm not sure I ever saw this man not smiling. He was wise, but youthful. A man who loved to laugh. A man who truly enjoyed joy. Joy in Christ, especially. He and his wife, Carrie, had recently celebrated 43 years of marriage. Is that incredible or what? And they loved each other well. As most of you know, Carrie can be quiet and introverted, but I'm not sure I ever saw her not smiling when the two of them were out together. Whether it was a variety of gatherings with our church family or movie night at the garden, they were together, loving one another well, with smiles on their faces. We all probably knew Eric as a strong and selfless man of God, but believe it or not, he wasn't always like that. Despite growing up in a good home, he didn't come to saving faith until later. His father was a doctor in the military, serving on the beach in the Battle of Normandy. He had a heart for people, and he died when Eric was just 14 years old. For a time, Eric lived a pretty typical life of the unbeliever, living for self, walking down the wrong road into drugs and so on. But following in the footsteps of his father, Eric too joined the military, and this is where everything changed. During his time in the military, he received the gospel and began a new life with Jesus. Praise God. Sometime later, he moved to Springfield, Oregon, and began attending a church there where he met his future wife, Carrie. During their time, they sacrificially served the body well. He served on the worship team using keyboard skills that he developed at a young age. Listen to this. He was playing classical piano music at age 5. As he grew older, he taught himself how to play several other instruments, which he put to incredible use, leading worship for decades. And his wife was also always involved, most often with the children. After serving in this particular church for 7 years, 7 years for Eric, and it had been 18 years for Carrie, she was there much earlier than he was, they were asked, along with two other families, to take a leading role in planting a church. He served as an elder, and they started with 12 people. It quickly grew to hundreds, and today, thousands. For most of their life, Eric and Carrie were a part of the 10% who did 90% of the work. They served on prayer teams, hospitality teams, greeter teams, and more. Nevertheless, Eric was a faithful and present husband who prioritized his wife and his children above himself. He loved them well, led them well, and truly lived out the Ephesians 5 instructions for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Eric and Carrie were the best of friends, and despite knowing a lot, and boy did he know a lot, he was a humble man who always wanted to grow and learn more. He loved learning. Eric always had an entrepreneurial mind. Clocking in and out every day, working for someone else just wasn't him. So he had a variety of jobs and perhaps most notably started his own construction business. Years later, he ran his own marketing business, built websites and more. And after that, he worked with his son Nate to run a woodworking business that they eventually sold, and it's still going strong. Carrie, too, helped with these businesses and also ran her own floral design business. It must run in the family, and the Lord blessed it. They certainly didn't go through life without their own struggles and their own difficulties. The 2008 recession really hit them hard, totally wiping out the construction business at the time. However, they operated totally above board, choosing to pay off their debts rather than declare bankruptcy, and the Lord honored them with more ideas and more success. The more I've heard about Eric's life and the more I got to know him personally here in Boquete over these last couple of years, I would say that he was a man who was hard to get down, and his wife was the perfect helpmate for him. He didn't have to convince her of business ideas. She believed in him, supported him, and got on board sometimes quicker than he did. They didn't prize money or security above all, but simply desired to follow the Lord to the best of their ability and honor him in all that they did. When they finally moved to Panama just a couple of years ago, their desire was to slow down and enter into a season of rest and to just receive. And they did just that. Eric was a happy man of God with a good sense of humor. He knew what was important, people, not stuff. And he knew what was most important, namely his relationship with the Lord. He wouldn't want us to be sad, but he would want us to rejoice and celebrate his homecoming, which is exactly what we're doing. Amen. As we continue to remember Eric well, I've been given the wonderful privilege to share on behalf of their two kids, Jessica, who's with us today, and Nate, about what Eric was like and how he will be remembered through their eyes. Listen first from their daughter, Jessica, and then from their son, Nate. Here's what she says. Thank you all for coming. It's amazing to see the connections that he made here in such a short amount of time. But that's my dad. Connection with others, and it came easy for him. Today is hard. One I didn't think would happen for a long time. My papa, that's what I called him instead of dad, was committed to God first, then family and church. Watching him showed me what to prioritize in life. He always made me feel loved, beautiful, and made me believe I could do anything I put my mind to. I could always rely on him for the best advice. Whether it was with my businesses, family, or home renovation, he was always there to listen and help however he could. He was amazing at keeping us all connected and trying new things and new adventures. He made everyone laugh and always had a smile on his face. Growing up, he made everything a teachable moment And I am so grateful for that. When his mom passed away, I went with him to her service in New Mexico. And on the plane down there was the first time he had opened up to me about his childhood. After this, I was able to better understand him and give him grace in the hardships that he and I had. He broke a lot of bad family cycles, and I'm so proud and grateful to him for that. When I was 15, he took me on a 5-day hiking trip. We stayed up late talking and watching so many shooting stars. We didn't pack enough water, but he never stressed about it. He found his way to a rest area and asked people for water so we could continue on our hike. He was so confident and sure of himself. After I got engaged, he wrote and recorded the most beautiful song on the piano that he walked me down the aisle to. A priceless moment for both of us. Recently, going through cancer, even though he wasn't physically near, he always had the most encouraging words for me. He was so sure that I would be okay, just like he knew where to lead us on our hike together. It gave me the confidence to push forward and to fight. He guided me, taught me not to be scared of June bugs, and showed me how to serve in the church so I could teach my kids the same. He showed me how to put God first, how to drive a stick shift, how to work hard and run a business with integrity, and now he's left behind an amazing legacy. I love him and can't wait to see him again. That was from Jessica, and now from his son, Nate. When I think about honoring my dad, I think about the example that he was to me. My dad was hardworking, faithful, and a true servant leader. He cared about community and making long-lasting connections with people. If you had a need, he would help you fill it. If you needed a friend, he would be it. Unless he didn't like you. And then he would find you a friend. This room is filled with people he laughed with, cried with, worked with, and did life together with. And we are all better for it, for having his presence in our life. He was a great example and committed himself to the purpose that God had for him. He taught me integrity in life, in the church, and in business, and I know we will meet again in heaven. What a beautiful and special way of capturing who Eric was. Amen. When I sat down with Carrie to think through what today might look like, one of the first things that she brought up was that Eric would want his hope in the gospel shared. This, of course, was then echoed by his children, who knew that his deepest desire for everyone here was to know the Lord and be saved. You see, his hope was in Jesus. We believe wholeheartedly that Eric was saved and is at home with the Lord. And we believe, as he did, that all those who put their faith and their trust and their hope in Christ, repenting of their wicked ways, believing in him for the forgiveness of their sins, and choosing to follow him, will likewise be saved and inherit eternal life with the King of Kings. The very basic truth of the gospel is that every one of us have sinned against a perfectly and infinitely holy God. And not only that, but the wages or the consequences of that sin is eternal death and damnation. This is what Romans 3 and Romans 6 tell us. This is a major problem, and it's one that we will all contend with sooner or later. But the good news of the gospel is actually good news, because it doesn't just tell us that we're guilty and we're doomed and then leave us with no hope. Rather, it tells us that the one true God of the universe, by his unfathomable mercy and grace and love toward us, has provided a solution to the problem, if we will but receive it in full. Namely, he sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf. He lived a perfect, sinless life and was therefore an acceptable sacrifice to the Father on behalf of all who believe. Because God loves us so incomprehensibly, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 tell us that through Jesus' work on the cross, he canceled the guilt and the debt of sin for believers. Paul expresses this deep love of God for us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, perhaps the most glorious and the most precious verse in the entire Bible, when he says this. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ went to the cross long before any of us came to faith in him, with the express purpose of saving all who believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that for our sake, for the sake of the believer, God made Jesus, who knew no sin whatsoever, made him to become sin, so that through faith in him, we would become the righteousness of God. That is, through faith in Christ, our sins would be forgiven. Not overlooked, not magically forgotten, not swept under the rug somewhere, but paid for personally by Jesus Christ himself and forgiven. The truth of the gospel is that every sin will be paid for. All of them. At the end of the age, there will be no injustice and there will be no unrighteousness. All sin will be dealt with either in the cross, in the person of Jesus Christ for all who believe, or in us in hell for all eternity. There is no third option. Eric believed this with all of his heart, and he devoted a significant portion of his life to sharing this news and the wonderful God-provided solution of the gospel, and then raising those up who received it as disciples of Christ. What we're talking about here is life and death forever. And to the humble, this is the sweetest news ever communicated. Eric trusted in the Lord for the forgiveness of his sins. As we often talk about on Sundays, he experienced this forgiveness daily and very practically. He actively walked in gospel freedom and gospel joy, belonging to Christ and Christ alone. And it's his desire to share this hope with everyone today. Listen to how Jesus expresses this hope of ours in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you understand? Eric has died, and yet he is alive. Amen?
Amen.
None of us knows when our earthly life will come to an end. None of us knows what tomorrow will bring, and the unexpected nature of Eric's passing only serves to reinforce this truth. But if we trust and believe in the Lord Jesus through faith, then we can have absolute confidence that our sins will be wiped away and we will live forever with him. And so if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, has never received the good news of the gospel and would like to, I would love to connect with you and talk through some of this with you more. I'm not going to tell you to pray this prayer or say these words. Repeating words after someone doesn't save. Genuine, God-wrought faith in Christ saves. And if God the Holy Spirit is moving in you and prompting you in any way, please come see me after service. It would be my honor and my privilege to unpack the truths and the depths of the gospel with you further. The Bible teaches us that if we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, something that every one of us can do right now, if we've trusted in him for salvation, then when we die, we immediately go home to be with the Lord. We're immediately taken into his presence. This is where Eric is now. We're also told that upon the Lord's return to earth, we will be given new glorified bodies, and we will reign forever with him on the new heaven and the new earth. We will be given purpose and work. We will eat and we will drink to his glory and for our ever-increasing joy in him. The book of Revelation tells us in chapter 21 that there will be no more pain, no more tears, and no more sorrow. But rather, in the presence of Christ, there will be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Eric's favorite Bible verse was Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And while this promise was given to the Israelites going into captivity, it's equally applicable to all the people of God in Christ. It is not true for unbelievers. It doesn't apply to them. But it becomes true in Christ for all who receive him and his gospel. I know Eric's desire, as is his family's and is mine, our desire is to spend forever with you in fellowship and hope and joy through salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Lastly, for those of you who already know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's Eric's desire that each one of us be encouraged and that we receive the comfort that only the Lord God can give us as we both mourn and celebrate his passing. It's both. Sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Amen. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And John 16:22 says, "Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." I love the hope and the confidence in these promises. Amen. Our worship team has come forward now, and what we're going to do is we're going to sing two more response songs in just a moment. And from my perspective, they're wonderful response songs for this time of grief and yet simultaneous celebration. The first one is Eric, one of Eric and Carrie's all-time favorite songs. And so I just encourage you to let this be a sweet time for that reason, but also for the truths that it proclaims. And then after that, we're going to celebrate together with another powerful song about his hope and our hope in Christ. So let's do this now as we continue to worship, and then I'll close this after that. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being with us here this morning. We thank you that you are indeed, oh, it's so true, you are indeed a very present help in time of need, and we have need of you today. We thank you for enabling us to honor Eric well and to bring you great glory in the process. And we thank you for this wonderful man of yours, Eric Hardenbrook. We thank you for the life that he lived, but we thank you and praise you even more for the eternal life that he is now actively experiencing with you. Lord Jesus, you've been with us today in our joy, and we ask that you would also be with us in our grief. Help us to grieve well. Help Carrie and the family and all these friends and loved ones in this room and elsewhere to grieve well, and help us to do this in a way that fully testifies to how powerful you are and how real your presence, your peace, your love, and your power is in our life. Lastly, I pray that as we fellowship and enjoy one another and enjoy a few refreshments, I ask that you would be glorified in our words and our familial togetherness, and I ask that you would bless the food that we're going to enjoy to the nourishment of our bodies. We love you, we praise you, and we trust you. And it's in the most powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Allow me to dismiss you now, family, with this benediction from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Amen. You're dismissed.